Welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast, where sales leaders teach you what's working for them and how you can build it yourself.
This episode of the Predictable Revenue Podcast is brought to you by our sales coaching and consulting services. Are you looking to create repeatable, scalable, and predictable revenue? We've helped thousands of companies grow their business with tailored expert advice backed by testing to ensure they establish the best practices that'll work for them. Head over to bit.ly/predictable revenue coaching to learn more. Salespeople have a tough job, and throughout the day, some ego-driven emotions are inevitably going to come up. But in spite of what some of the traditional sales methodologies preach, when we let these emotions take hold, we risk losing the sale. I'm your host, Sarah Hicks, and today on the Predictable Revenue Podcast, I'm going to be chatting with an expert about the 8 ego-driven emotions that stop you from selling and their antidotes. He runs Growth Genie, a consultancy that empowers B2B sales teams to have better conversations through playbooks, sequences, coaching, and training. He's passionate about helping salespeople be less ego-driven and more customer-centric. Michael Hansen, welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast.
Thanks a lot for inviting me, Sarah, and yeah, looking forward to today's discussion.
Me too. So tell us why you prefer psychology to sales books.
Yeah, great question. So just over my time working in sales, both being a coach and then being a practitioner as well, I've kind of realized the biggest issue we face is like ourselves, right? It's like we're battling ourselves all the time. And especially since I've got into coaching, a colleague of mine said to me, he's like, are we sales consultants or are we life coaches? Because like you get all these SDRs and AEs and stuff like coming to you with their life problems. And it's because sales is really the art. For me, sales comes down to, are you good at the art of communication, right? Is the one side of it, which is your messaging. And then the other side of it is, can you deal with failure? Because I get some people who come to me and they're like, oh yeah, we close 50% of deals that we get. And I was like, that's rubbish. Even the best salesperson in the world is not doing that. So you're going to get more no's than yeses. Like that's just part of sales. You're going to fail more than you succeed. So in those situations where you fail in inverted commas because you don't win the deal or don't get the meeting, it's how you pick yourself up and react to that. And that's where the ego comes into it. So the ego is a natural part of who you are. You can never get rid of the ego, but you've got to understand the ego and when it's coming up. So anyway, when I was reading all these psychology books, I was just like, wow, this is the secret to selling better. It's not about, you know, all these different methodologies. So.
Yeah. And a lot of those old kind of traditional sales methodologies kind of take a completely opposite approach where it's not that your ego is kind of a barrier that you should understand and kind of work with. It's more like use your ego, like strong arm the sale, all that kind of stuff. So why the shift? Like why back then did we say like, yeah, use your ego, use the bravado and what changed?
Yeah. And I think, again, I don't think I can comment on this too much. I'm like 32 in transparency, so I haven't got, the depth of sales experience and methodologies, as I'm sure a lot of other people listening to this. But my colleague Lawrence is like mid-50s and speaking to him, I've heard there's always been like snake oil salesmen and snake oil trainers who are like, you know, push the meeting at whatever cost, close a sale, kind of like what you're talking about, you know, Wolf of Wall Street type thing. I think maybe what has changed is now the buyer has more control, right? So the buyer, and this is where like sales and marketing are becoming more intertwined. The buyer can go online and they've got so much information at their fingertips. And if the salesperson doesn't realize that, then they're going to be negatively affected by thinking, hey, all the information this person is getting about my company is coming from me. And that's not the case anymore. They can just do a quick Google search or like go on G2 or like any kind of review platform. So.
Yeah, makes sense. So then let's talk about ego and when you do inevitably encounter it in your day-to-day as a salesperson, how do you recognize what you're feeling and kind of go from there?
Yeah, so we can talk about this a bit more in the show, but so we've identified 8 ego-driven emotions. And the important thing is when you're feeling these is not to beat yourself up and be like, why am I scared of cold calling today? And it's like, cold calling is scary. It's a scary thing, like interrupting people's day. People don't cold call generally. They don't call their friends. You don't call your family anymore. You're like sending them text messages. So it's just a scary thing to do. So don't be like, why am I scared? Just be like, I'm scared and that's fine. but how am I going to get over this? I'm going to think of like a positive situation where I've cold called and it worked, right? So it's more the antidotes, what important, and it's the recognition, not being like, oh, I'm scared, I can't do sales. It's just like recognizing that it's totally normal.
Yeah. Cool. Well, then, yeah, let's walk through the 8 ego-driven emotions and talk about those antidotes.
Sure. So the first one is a big one is desire, right, in sales. So the reason I always lead with this one is because I think the nature of sales, and it was going back to what you mentioned before about like strong-arming someone into the sale, it's focusing on closing the sale or like booking a meeting. And sometimes what that does is it's actually having a negative impact because you're not focusing on the other person. So actually you need to detach from the outcome. And by detaching from the outcome in a weird way, you're actually more likely to hit targets. Because I'm not saying by detaching from outcome, no salesperson should have targets. But ironically, by not focusing on your targets and focusing on the other person and what they need, that's how you can meet targets. The antidote to that is curiosity, right? It's being like really curious in the other person, because one, you're then going to be, is this person a good fit? You're going to qualify them better. And then two, I can give you like a story of me as a buyer rather than a seller. At my last company before I set up Growth Genie, we were like assessing some marketing technology, and there was 3 vendors we were talking with, and they were all quite similar. So it was really a story of people buy from people. Which of the salespeople did we like more? And at the time, I was actually, the company I worked for was an American company, but we had a big operation in Colombia, and most of the leadership team were living in Colombia. And 2 of the salespeople had these like stereotypes about Colombia and like Pablo Escobar and all this stuff. So they came on the call, not with curiosity, but their own perception of Colombia, and said, I've watched Narcos, oh, Pablo Escobar, blah, blah, blah. And that was it. Whereas the third guy came on and he's like, oh, it's cool. Like Americans, English, all like living in Colombia. Like, how is it? Oh, my friend's been there. Like, he told me this. Is that how it is? And he was super curious. So it was just a really good example of, he didn't make any of his own assumptions. He was like, I'm just going to be really curious about these people and like build a relationship with them. And then, you know, we ended up buying their solution. So that was a good example of like, he was more curious and wasn't focusing on, you know, his own assumptions and own agenda. So yeah, that's the first emotion. I don't know if you've got any questions on that one, but.
No, I don't think so. So desire on the ego side, and then the antidote to that being curiosity, makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. And then the second one we've pretty much covered already, which is fear, right? So like sales can be scary, especially certain parts of sales. So like I said, cold calling still works, unfortunately. So it's not dead, and it can be more rewarding than other channels because you can have a really good conversation. But even myself, right? So, you know, I've had many successful cold calls, especially now because I don't do it as much. I get fear before I cold call, right? I still try to, because we do cold call training, I still like 1 hour a week try to do cold calling, because I'm not doing it every day, that 5 minutes before I'm like, oh, I've got to call someone who's got no idea who I am. So what's the antidote to that? It's hope. So when I say hope, there's 2 sides to this. If we give like a practical example, when you're feeling that fear of cold calling, if you're a new salesperson, so maybe new salespeople listening to this, you may have never had a successful cold call. So you can't think, oh, I'm going to think of that time where I cold called someone successfully, but reach out to a colleague, reach out to, you know, the best performing salesperson in the team, and they'll give you hope because they'll say, look, cold calling works. This is what you need to do, or your manager or your coach. And then, yeah, if you have been successful, but maybe you're having a bad month, it happens in sales, right? Then think about that time where you are successful, listen to a call recording, et cetera. And that's going to give you hope. So that is number 2. Number 3 and number 4, I tie in together. So it's anger and resentment. So we have a little presentation that we do when we're kind of training the reps that we work with about selling with less ego. And there's an example I give where essentially one of my colleagues got an email. It's actually Lawrence, the guy in his 50s I was talking about earlier, saying, this is the worst sales email I've ever got, right? And I think Lawrence has less ego than me, because his reaction was, he came to me and he's like, oh, how do I reply to this response? And I was like, I'd be so like angry with this person. And this person also like copied her colleague and was like, I'm copying my manager for a laugh. This is a disgrace. But Lawrence, he's got a lot less ego than me and a lot more power. So naturally, what normally happens with anger, it turns into resentment. So that's the fourth ego-driven emotion. And that's probably what I would have felt. But Lawrence is like, how do I write a better email to this person? So we researched the company. They were like an HR software. We talked about tips for selling to HR leaders. And then eventually she replied and gave like, you couldn't have two different responses. I'm really sorry about the last message. I really liked your email. This could be interesting. Please speak to my colleague. Mm. So it was just a really good example of like, you know, even if someone's angry, you don't know what's going on in their life. So she kind of gave us actually a backstory about things that were happening in her personal life. So if someone's angry to you on a cold call or an email or whatever it is, you know, family member may have died, may have something wrong with a pet. There's all kinds of things that could be going on with their life. So essentially the antidote to that, which is what Lawrence did, is forgiveness, right? He forgave the person who was like, hey, whatever, she's feeling that at the moment. She's still a good fit for our product. I still want to talk to her. So that's that was his example. I think we're halfway through on the emotions. I don't know if there's anything you want to interject with this, Sarah. But...
No, it's interesting. It all totally makes sense. I guess one question, and it would apply to the last half as well. So we can save it for the end or address it now. But how do you, teach yourself to not react to these things when they pop up? Because like you said, I would be the same with the, like when you get a response over email, it's like, wow, that's the worst. I've had that. I did like early in my SDR days, I messed up on custom variables and I sent an email that said like a high first name or whatever, or like company, you know, like something, just a rookie mistake. And then the person responded. And as it turned out, that person had been like cataloging any mistake I'd ever made to them over, because I prospected them a few times, and they wrote back and they were like, just so you know, you did this, but before that you did this. And they same thing, like copied all of their colleagues and were like, we all talk about how you're like, you're terrible at prospecting and all this stuff. And I was like, oh my God. And it's so hard not to just, I don't know, either like, you know, slam the lid of the laptop shut and never talk to them again, or not, I don't know, just kind of let it eat you up. So how do you teach yourself to be like, okay, stop, let me have a think, let me realize what's going on here, and then instead of reacting, go for the antidote and then do that thing instead?
No, I love the example you gave, and it's funny because from a buyer, there's also the buyer perspective, because these emotions, they're not just for sales, right? They're general emotions like in life that you're going to feel on a daily basis. But I think that ironically, the anger part is she may have been feeling anger from like a buyer perspective, like, why doesn't she care about me? Why isn't she customer centric, etc.? But the most popular post I did this year on LinkedIn was about that, where people are always complaining about this type of stuff on LinkedIn about, oh, this salesperson's terrible. And I said, I just received an email, like you said, it said hi first name instead of hi Michael. Instead of going crazy, I just sent a message back saying, hey, sorry, I think you made a mistake. Maybe you want to change it for when you message other people, right? Which funnily enough, she did. But the tone of what she did, she was like, this is a disgrace what you're doing, copying her colleagues, rather than saying, hey, I think you're making some mistakes. Like, this is what you should change, right? So there's a guy called Kyle Coleman, who I recommend following on LinkedIn. And he basically tries to respond to all SDRs, because like me, he's passionate about outbound, and just give them feedback. And then we create like a better world, essentially. But going to your question of what's the antidote, I think that comes on to the to the next one, which is agitation and anxiety. So I think in the situation you talked about, you may feel anxious, right, as well as angry. You may be like, I'm not good at sales because this person's told me this information, and maybe like sales isn't for me. So what I recommend doing in those situations is try to calm yourself. So calm is the antidote to that. But again, how do you get calm, you may say? So there's many different forms of this. So the funny thing is, when we do this selling with less ego, I always ask sales reps for their feedback. Like, what do you think the antidote is? And what we recommend is just taking your taking yourself out of the situation for like 10 minutes, right? So the most common thing is like meditating, or meditation is this word that I think is quite scary to some people. So I just say breathe, like breathe for 10 minutes, focus on your breath, breathe in and out, go away from your computer, go away from your laptop. But the other thing you can do is you can go for a walk, you can exercise, you can call a friend. Just take yourself away from whatever situation is making you anxious, which in your case would have been that woman who is very rude to you. And then suddenly it's not such a big deal. You just focused on something else, right? So that's what I'd recommend for those situations. Next one we have is lethargy, which is essentially laziness. So there's a lot of different examples of this in sales. Again, it may be because you're not doing that well. So you're at the start of your sales career. You may be 2 months in, you're not getting results, but sales takes time. I think the average ramp up for an SDR is like 4 months, for an account executive is 6 months. But you may feel, oh, I'm not getting results, so I can't be bothered with this anymore. Or it may be you've been doing really well recently, right? You hit your target with like 10 days to go. So you're like, oh, I don't need to do anything, but why not like beat your target, get even more commission, do even better for your company. So what's the antidote to kind of laziness or lethargy? For me, it's inspiration. And what inspires me in sales is actually just meeting new people, right? So the quote I look at is, everyone you will ever meet knows something you don't. So that's why I like sales. I've built amazing relationships with people over the years. So I'm having that, you know, laziness or lethargy feeling. I think, oh, I've met all these great people over the years. You've like helped me, not just in sales, but in life generally. So, you know, I don't turn up to this call, that could be like an incredible person that, you know, I'm going to miss out on a conversation with. So I think we're down to the last two now. So doubt, again, this can be tied into, a lot of these are interrelated. So this can be tied into anxiety, agitation. This could also be tied into fear. So you may not be hitting your targets, right? You may have had a bad quarter. The last quarter was good, but for some reason, this is not a good quarter. Starting to doubt yourself. Is sales for me? Like, you've got low self-esteem. And then the thing I always think about, and again, this goes back to the fear one, is think about a time where you did do well. If you're an experienced sales rep, if you were smashing it in Q1 and it's now Q3 and you're not doing well, think about, what was I doing well in Q1, right? And, you know, go back to your manager, go to your coach, go to your colleagues. If there's colleagues that are doing really well, instead of doubting yourself, try to think about how you could be better. And then that comes from belief, right? Thinking about believing in yourself from thinking about a time where you were successful. However, there may be new sales reps out there, right, who are saying, well, you know, I'm 2 months in my job. I've never got meetings. I've never been successful on calls. Then again, reach out to a colleague who's done well, because you may think, this is impossible, I can't do this. But if you speak to colleagues, they're going to give you that belief that you can do it. It's just you need to change your approach somehow. And then the last one is pride, right? So this is, I think, quite an interesting one. And I think this goes a little bit back to what you were talking about at the start of the conversation with regards to, you know, sleazy salespeople back in the day, kind of strong-arming people into meetings, into sales. And I think often salespeople are scared to ask for feedback. So pride is something that's seen as, you know, it's often seen as a positive thing. Like you say, oh, I'm proud of you to your family member or a friend. It can actually be quite a destructive thing where, again, say you're new in sales, you want to ask a question to the head of IT because you're selling like an IT product and you think he would know. And you're like, oh, he's super busy, I don't want to annoy him. That's pride, right? Because you're worried you're going to like disturb this person. You don't want a cold call because it's interrupting their day. Again, that's pride. So pride can actually be like a really damaging thing. So again, it's like the humility of being, okay, there's loads of things I don't know. I'm going to ask, if I'm selling a data science product, I'm going to ask the head of data science, or I'm going to ask my chief revenue officer, I'm going to ask the top performing sales rep, and not thinking I'm disturbing them, just thinking, hey, I don't know certain things and I need to get information. That really comes down to humility, which is such a key thing in sales. And however good you are, and I always say this, however good a sales call is, whether that's a cold call or a demo, it can always be improved. So if you're using any type of like call recording software, a great way of being humble is like, just sharing your calls with as many people as possible in the organization and just getting feedback. You know, your coach can give you feedback, but then also your like colleagues can give you feedback. We've seen really good results with companies where colleagues are like listening to each other's calls because they're on the front line. So yeah, I recommend being humble and just always trying to get feedback on like everything you're doing. So yeah, I've just chucked a lot of information at you there, Sarah. So look forward to hearing your thoughts on it.
No, absolutely. Yeah, it totally makes sense. It's nice to hear a name be kind of assigned to these feelings that do come up all the time. And then, yeah, kind of how you can counteract them with the antidote. I mean, I think if you don't understand what it is that you're feeling, then how can you possibly try to not feel that way? And it's, I think, easy to kind of misinterpret our emotions or kind of like misattribute a certain feeling to one thing or another. But having this practice of like stopping, taking a breath, kind of assessing the situation and then going like, oh, okay, I'm having this reaction. That's fine. That is a normal human reaction to have in this kind of scenario, but I don't have to let it ruin my day. I don't have to let it impact what I'm doing for the rest of my day. So if I can just take the time, breathe, and then apply the antidote like you've laid out, you can kind of get back into the swing of things more quickly and sort of let the, well, we know that sales is full of ups and downs. So letting the downs kind of like wash off you is a lot better than letting them pull you down and then being bogged down.
Exactly. Yeah. I love that analogy. I think you got it spot on there.
Nice. Well, okay. Let's talk about the impact or the kind of results that you see in salespeople, sales practitioners, when they do apply these antidotes, when they've kind of got this process down and they've got a good system for not reacting and then applying the antidote. What kind of results or impact do you see there?
Yeah, great impact. So one of the, I can give you an example. So there's like an outbound, there's this thing like the breakup email, which I don't really like that term because normally you contact them in 3 months anyway. So it's not really a proper breakup anyway.
Just a break.
Yeah. So what we do is we recommend having a feedback email as your last touch. So say, you know, we'd love some feedback on my sales outreach to you so far. So that when I'm speaking to other people like you, marketing leaders, data science, whatever it is, whatever your persona is, I can have better messaging. And there's two things that tend to happen with this is one, people give you feedback, which is great. It's like market research on your buyer. The second is often people like the humble approach. And they're like, hey, this isn't your typical salesperson. They're quite humble and they'll get on a meeting with you. So funnily enough, one of our highest paying customers now is from that like feedback email. So that's like a good story. And yeah, we've seen with our clients, you know, 10 to 15% increase in that reply rate on that last feedback email by doing that instead of like a breakup email.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's definitely a great approach. I'm going to have to try that.
Go for it.
I'm always thinking about the different templates and different messaging that I can use. And that's a great idea. Amazing. Any kind of last thoughts on how the salesperson listening to this right now can, I guess like approach their ego reaction better and manage it and kind of apply those antidotes?
Yeah, just I think the breathing thing is a super simple thing. Like you said, I think that applies to all of them because like when you're feeling fear, when you're feeling desire, when you're feeling any of those, it's like breathe, take yourself out of the situation for 10 minutes. So I think that definitely applies to all of them. And then, yeah, don't, I think a big one I see is, especially with young sales reps, is they like assume because someone hasn't replied to their message, they're like not interested. So if you take someone through a sequence, they haven't replied. I literally just got off a call just before I spoke with you. And I was introduced to this person, but my colleague had been outbounding them. And he had never replied to the person once, but he came on the call and he's like, look, I took the call actually because your colleague, his messaging was great to me, but I never actually responded for some reason. Mm. So it's just like a great example of sometimes like, oh, my sequence isn't working. Unless someone literally sends you a message being like, leave me alone. It doesn't mean they don't like not getting a response doesn't mean rejection. It just means people are busy. So that's like a bit of a mindset shift that I would recommend to look at.
Yeah. Great point. Well, perfect place to kind of wrap it up. Michael, if people want to learn more from you, if they want to get in touch with you, where can they do that?
Yeah, sure. I'm very active on LinkedIn. So if you put Michael Hansen Growth Genie on LinkedIn, my LinkedIn is pretty open, happy to connect with most people. And then Growth Genie, growthgenie.co. We couldn't get .com, unfortunately. And my email is mhansen@growthgenie.co. So you can also email me.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Michael, for joining us on this episode of the Predictable Revenue Podcast. Great to walk through those eight ego-driven emotions that stop you from selling and how to address them with their antidotes. That's so helpful. And yeah, I can't wait to hear how people apply this and how it improves their daily lives as salespeople. So yeah, thanks again for joining us.
Pleasure, Sarah.
Thank you. And thank you to all of you guys for joining us for another episode of the Predictable Revenue Podcast. If you haven't already, please don't forget to hit that subscribe button on YouTube so that you get weekly notifications when we have great guests on like Michael Hansen. And we'll catch you next time.